Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason, Chase McCabe. How about this?
Twice this week.
This dynamic duo will get you going for the first couple of hours. Willie D will... Willie and it's Chase are like, they're like, well, they're like attacked, you know, like wrestling.
It's like Robin and Sally. It's like Robin and Sally. One comes in, the other goes out.
Yep. Something like that.
I don't have the hair. Exactly. You know, I don't have the Rodman hair. I mean, I can work on it.
Yeah. But.
Rodman and Sally. Wow.
Only reason I said that because I was watching, John Sally was doing an interview yesterday that I was watching online, and he was talking about Jordan and Isaiah and how, you know, it wasn't Jordan that kept, you know, Isaiah off the Olympic team. Actually, it was Magic and not Jordan. So that's why I said Magic, you know, Isaiah, you know, Dennis and Sally.
Well, whatever you think about Isaiah Thomas, he was a tremendous basketball player, but he seemed to.
He wasn't good at GMing and coaching.
No, he was not. He was not. He was.
That wasn't his forte.
That was not.
This wasn't his lane.
Hall of Fame basketball player,
yeah,
not Hall of Fame. And quite honestly, without being around him, but just reading the room over the years, I'm not sure he's a Hall of Fame person either. I don't know. Seems to always be something with Isaiah.
The
you know
edge,
what I mean?
The
well,
edge,
I don't know what edge. I don't know what it is, but there's something.
Something's always following.
Quotation, something.
Something's always following.
Something's always lurking.
Or like the guy on Charlie Brown, the cloud.
The cloud.
Always following.
Sometimes, it's not always raining, but sometimes it may rain on you. Predators tonight in Edmonton, Oilers in the house. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame here on these airwaves. Game 2 of this 5-game homestand. Mm-hmm. This is a big one.
aren't they all?
This is the big one.
From this point on.
If you could put that, save that, Elijah. We'll use that on Saturday morning in pregame. This is the big one.
Saturday.
You want that? Want that in a promo?
One. That way, I don't have to keep saying it. I just, Elijah, hit it. This is the big one.
Yeah.
This is an important one.
No, you can say this is the biggest one. Put them all in a queue. Just put them all in the queue.
Put
like,
them all.
This is the big one.
Like,
this is bigger than the last one, and this is the big.
That's what we should. Right now, let's rehearse and just save all these, and we'll pick which one we're going to use every game day.
For the next 9 games, this is where that coach-player-speak BS actually comes in, where it's like, yeah, well, you know what the biggest one is? The next one.
One game at a time.
One game at a time. We're trying to go, James Franklin, guys, we're trying to go 1-0 this week. We're trying to go 1-0 against Edmonton.
It's like, how are we going to go 1-0 when we're like 1-5? Makes no sense.
That's why that snake oil salesman pitch that he had kind of worked.
Yeah, you're right about that.
We had Anthony Heron on yesterday from the Big Ten Network, former Nashville Cat.
I was about to say that, former
he
Cat.
He didn't – I don't know, and Willie was a part of this interview. I don't know why you heard all this. I didn't get the – he was not – you expect a guy, Big Ten Network. He played, obviously. He played at Iowa. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Are you guys about the
– I don't know.
I don't know how old Anthony is. I'm trying to – he was at Iowa. Did your paths cross? Anyway.
If he was there my years, then yes, I'm sure.
he was not, let's just say, glowing about every, you know, I mean, I asked about Aiden Hutchinson. He's like, yeah, you know, he's going to get drafted high, but, you know.
Anthony's 42.
Okay, so he's a little bit younger than you.
So I had already left.
He left Iowa in 01.
Yeah. Okay. So I was gone.
Wasn't sure where
I was going.
Okay, you gone. You were already playing professionally. But he was like, yeah, you know, he's good, but not great. You know, I was like, yeah, he's good, but he's not like, I mean, he's not like Joey Bosa good. You know, just kind of, I just, and the receivers, like the Dotson, the Penn State, I mean, he was like, you know, see, he was always good things, and then it was always like, but not, it wasn't anything, like I remember when Jeremy Fowler came on, right, and he talked about Bud Dupree, and it was like, oh. Like, we got done with the interview, and I was like, oh, maybe the Titans should – wow, I think they need to sign that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like we didn't know Bud Dupree, but it's like he covered Bud Dupree, and he was just like, yeah, like, basically he's just as good as T.J. Watt. And I'm like, yeah, I'm interested in that.
Bring him on over.
Yep. Come on to Nashville. You know, it was like when the interview was done, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't get that feeling. I'm not trying to, you know – I'm not trying to say anything. One way, I think he's being honest. He was comfortable with us. He loves Nashville. You know, we were talking about the Cats. So I just think he was keeping it real, and I just didn't. He was not like over the top gushing about these guys, these Big Ten players that we're asking that are projected to go high.
Well, they had two, the two bookends at Michigan, obviously, Hutchinson and I forget the other guy's name.
Well, it's up to you to say it. So we're leaving it up to you. You brought it up. You say it.
No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to butcher it. but that's what I've always – when I'm judging receivers, I look at how they play not against, you know, talking specifically about the Big Ten, not against somebody like Toledo or Northern Michigan – Central Michigan, nothing wrong with those programs, but when you're playing those programs, they don't have the athletes that you have.
Sure.
So when I'm evaluating receivers, I don't want to look at that. I don't. And I don't want to look at, you know, I want to see a guy who's playing up against a really good corner. And they may get that maybe once or twice a year.
You brought up the whole press. You know, they just don't press.
Yeah, and that's what – you know, that's why it's hard to evaluate receivers nowadays.
You don't think it's been hard for GMs and organizations to judge quarterbacks when everything went to shotgun and they never see a quarterback under center?
You're right.
I mean, that kind of makes life difficult, doesn't it? When you all the tape on them is in a shotgun, it's like, oh, well, that's great. Well, that's not going to be life in the NFL. I mean,
well, you can't.
You will, but, I mean, you're going to have to get up under center and – and now, especially today, I mean, how many? What's the last college quarterback you saw under center?
Not too often,
right? Not too many times. That's gone. Right.
Honestly,
I think the crowd would be like, "What are they doing?"
That was
the quarterback gets up under center. What are they? Is this like a trick play?
Yeah, what is this? Yeah.
What's going on?
They probably would think that they're going to run a trick play. But that was one of the biggest knocks on Mariota.
Yeah,
is that he had never in his life
been under
dealt with having, you know, the center right there, like he had never done that before.
Well, I mean, I could have told you several things about Mariota.
Well,
but Mario, he's a good player.
Somebody else we used to work with, like the small batch.
Yeah, Mariota. But his flaws were there, and I think a lot of people overlooked him. Like he could not, and I repeat, he could not throw the ball outside further than 10 yards, 10, 15. Mm-hmm. He couldn't throw a deep out.
Is that a problem in the NFL?
Everything, because if you watch them in college, everything was in the middle of the field.
He's the quarterback for the Falcons, just so you know.
That's and I will, unless he's progressed, which I hope he have and he should have, you will see a lot of things in the middle of the field. Hell, the Titans ran a lot in the middle of the field for him, a lot of shallow crosses, a lot of in routes for him, because they finally realized after drafting him, wow, this guy really can't throw those deep outs that we need to throw.
So they figure that out, defenses in the NFL?
Oh, yeah, quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, that was on a scouting report, I guarantee you.
Hashtag sarcasm.
You don't think Cincinnati didn't figure out that Derrick Henry
was
uncomfortable going one way in that game?
I'm sure they did, very quickly.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean, the teams figure it out players figure it out very quickly.
I'd be curious of of you watching these quarterbacks in this class, you know, the ones like Pickett and Ritter and, you know, pretty much the guys that we're talking about, and from your receiver eyes of how they can go through their progressions quickly, and obviously that's going to speed up in the NFL, and just what you see out of their college game of, okay, well, can Pickett throw to the outside, or can Pickett find the guy over the middle, but can he do it fast? Same with Ritter. But what you've seen to this point.
But these guys are not, they're not taught to go through. They're taught to, one, two, if they're not there, we hope you don't have to get to the third guy. We just hope you don't. They're not taught to scan. They're taught to scan, but it's hard for them to do it. A lot of quarterbacks are seeing one side of the field. Very seldom do you have that quarterback. When they talk, when they start mentioning this is a quarterback, this is a draft that is rich in quarterbacks, well, they've evaluated these quarterbacks, and they see a lot of these quarterbacks that maybe they don't do it a lot, but when they have to, they do it well.
Yeah.
You know, like three or 4 years ago when Deshaun Watson and all those guys came out, that was a rich class in quarterbacks. Why? Because these guys knew how to read the middle of the field. These guys knew how to read all the field. Did they have to a lot of times? No, especially in Clemson's case. Heck, the first guy was always open, if not the first, the second. But he found a way. If those two guys were not open, he scanned the field and found somebody else. Very seldom do you see in college football guys hitting the third man in the progression. Usually it's one and two.
Yeah. But that's the difference in – you were talking about this the other day. That's the difference in some of the coaches like Saban or Dabo that – think with that pro style of knowing that, okay, these guys are going to have to do that at the next level. So even though they may not have to do it in a game, they're still teaching them how to do it.
Of course.
We'll talk about some Ole Miss guys, even Mississippi State guys. Some guys in the state of Mississippi. Nick Suss is really good about this stuff. And let's ask him, how good is Matt Corral? Do you think he'll be good at the next level? Is Nick a NFL scout? No, but he's watched and covered these guys up close and personal, and I'm curious to see what he thinks. Also, there's a guy from Mississippi State. All the mocks I see have him projected really high. Is he the real deal? I don't know. We'll get into all that and more with him next here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC, we're live here at the Patron Platinum Club here in Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Edmonton Oilers tonight. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We always enjoy our chats with Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger. He now joins us. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing well, y'all. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, thanks for doing this, as always. So let's just start with the quarterback at Ole Miss. Spectacular college quarterback. You're not an NFL scout, but he is projected high, but you've watched him for a long time. You've been around him. Like, how do you project? How do you see Matt Corral at the next level?
Yeah, that's a tricky one to answer, just because he's one of those quarterbacks that's kind of caught on in between of you see the skills and you clearly know he can make every throw. He has the talent. He's matured a lot. He has the demeanor and the locker room attitude to lead a team, but his most successful years were in a Lane Kiffin offense that doesn't really project easily to the NFL. And I don't think that means he can't be a good NFL quarterback. Quite the contrary. I think that learning to read defenses in an RPO offense and learning how to figure out defenses on the fly is a really translatable skill, but it's just not the same skill as sitting in a pocket and reading two safeties. So it's hard to, off the top of my head, say, oh, he's going to be this guy or that guy. I don't have a natural NFL comparison for him. What I can say is from when he got to Ole Miss in 2018, which was also my first year here, to today, he has matured as much as any college player I've seen. He went from a guy who admittedly his freshman and sophomore year didn't watch film to being a guy who was the reason that no one opted out of the Sugar Bowl for Ole Miss, because he was willing to play and lead his team and be such a locker room presence. I think that's incredibly admirable and projectable when you see what kind of person he became. And none of that is mentioning the fact that his junior year, 2020, he led college football in total offense per game. He put up more yards per game than any player in college football that year. And last year, before he hurt his ankle and before three of his top three receivers all got hurt, he was dead in the neck of the Heisman Trophy candidate conversation. I mean, he was somebody who was putting up incredibly impressive numbers in an incredibly fast-paced offense and has those skills to replicate in the NFL. But you think about the teams that need quarterbacks right now, they don't necessarily play that up-tempo 80 plays a game offense that he's thrived in. So there is probably going to be an adjustment period.
He didn't go to the combine in Indianapolis, correct?
I believe he went, but I don't think he participated because he was still dealing with an ankle injury.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't participate, but obviously was able to at least have some conversations. How did he – and you guys have had the pro day, correct, in Oxford?
Yes. Yeah.
And so how did things go at the pro day?
He looked good. He looked exactly the way you would expect him to look. The thing that every scout has said when I've talked to them, and if you read the analysis on him, he has the quickest release in this class. His hands are incredibly fast, and when he makes a decision, the ball's off his hand as quick as anybody. I mean, that's the thing that shows off in his pro day, that pop, that release. He wasn't the guy like Malik Willis or Zach Wilson last year who was wowing everybody with these 80-yard off-balance passes and this just cannon arm. He's a guy that's got a strong arm, but not the projectable NFL Joe Flacco type arm that you hear about of these guys who can just absolutely turn it into a howitzer. He looked good. He looked mobile coming off that ankle injury. It didn't seem like that was holding him back anymore. There weren't too many throws that he couldn't make, but he didn't get too many favors from his backs and receivers who dropped some catchable balls that made him look a little bit less successful. I think all in all, he looked good. There were four NFL head coaches there, three of whom are clearly in the market for a quarterback, and if they are teams that want to pick him first round, or maybe if he's still around early second round, I think that he would have done enough that these teams justified going to the pro day.
We're talking with Nick Suss, Clarion Ledger, talking Ole Miss and their potential draft prospects in this year's 2022 NFL draft. Another guy that blocked for the quarterback, it was Charles Cross. What is he projected? I know he's projected high, and you know, what would he bring to a team's offensive line?
Yeah, Charles Cross from Mississippi State is a guy who really could easily be a top 10 pick. I think a lot of people really like this year's offensive tackle class between him and Ike Okonwu from NC State, obviously Evan Neal from Alabama, a couple of other guys, Bernard Ryman, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of really good offensive tackles. I think Cross might be one of the more projectable guys, a guy who can really grow into himself as a blindside left tackle protector. I think he's probably one of the best, if not the best, pure pass blockers in this class, which is something that a lot of teams probably value high in the draft. And I think that he's another guy who really got better year over year over year at Mississippi State. I give him a lot of credit because he was, I believe he was a five-star recruit out of high school coming from Laurel, Mississippi, and there's a lot of baggage that comes with being the five-star from Mississippi who goes to Ole Miss or Mississippi State, and I think Cross handled it really well, and there was a lot of tumult at Mississippi State with coaching changes and Mike Leach installing his philosophy and kind of ruffling people the wrong way, but it never really seemed to shake Cross's consistency. And I think that consistency could be a huge key for him as he gets kind of projected into maybe being one of the first two or three tackles off the board.
Now, another guy that I'm interested in is Ontario Drummond. He had a really good senior season, but it was sort of his breakout season because seasons prior to that, he wasn't, you know, he didn't show up on film much. But what does he bring to the table? Big frame, I know, a lot of yards after the catch, but what else after that?
Yeah, he plays a lot bigger than he appears, which I think has always been the reason why I've thought of him as somebody like a Ricky Seals-Jones or a Chase Claypool, that kind of projection if he does hit his absolute peak. he was a guy his first 2 years at Ole Miss. He unfortunately was stuck behind Elijah Moore, and Elijah Moore was going to get all the looks, and Elijah Moore was clearly the best receiver on that team, and that's why Drummond didn't get too many looks. But he's really, really gifted after the catch, as you alluded to. I've always kind of compared him to, he runs like Pac-Man. It's all right angles. He doesn't really go diagonal very much. He's just going to stop, change direction, go left, stop, change direction, go right, and he eludes a lot of tacklers that way. It's really fun to watch. I think he's probably stuck kind of in between this, will he be a late-round draft pick or will he be an undrafted free agent kind of guy, just because of how many receivers there are in this year's class and how he kind of only has that 1 year of college tape that looks impressive. But he's a heck of an athlete. I can tell you, his arm, he had, I think, the second best arm on the team after Matt Corral last year. The dude could throw the football. And he's lined up some at that H-back tight end kind of slot where he plays in motion. He has the ability to do that because of his frame. I think there's a lot of ways you could play with him as a toy instead of just having to line him up at the X or line him up at the Y. I think there's a lot of things you can do with him, and that might make some NFL teams think, oh, this is a piece we should work with.
We're talking to Nick Suss of the Clarion Ledger, covers Ole Miss and some with Mississippi State as well, talking to Mississippi teams. Okay, so it's funny we're having you on, because I had a conversation with somebody yesterday as win totals are starting to be released for college football in the SEC. And WinBet had Ole Miss at 8 wins. And, you know, in Lane we trust. We're all about the Lane train. But obviously the question has to be answered of the future quarterback and what that team is going to look like. And the person I was talking to felt that they were going to take a step back, that you should lean under. But I'm curious, as somebody that covers the team, do you think they can keep this momentum going that Lane has started there? Or is it natural to take a bit of a step back after the last couple of years?
I think that it's going to be interesting to see where this team is at in the middle of October, because there is a world where Ole Miss is sitting at 6-0, 5-0, 6-1, 7-1 through the first stretch of the season, because they start off with four non-conference games where the toughest one is Georgia Tech. I think it's Georgia Tech, Tulsa, an FCS school, and I can't remember who the second group of five school is. And then their first three SEC opponents are Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Auburn, who will probably be the three lightest, maybe, SEC games on the schedule, depending on how well Auburn rebounds from their uncertain offseason. Then your last five games of the year in rapid succession will be LSU, Texas A&M, Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi State, the ringer of the SEC West, back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. We'll see how this team responds to that, because there are a lot of teams that can start off really hot and be the number 9 team in the country or the number 11 team in the country and kind of wilt when they're a younger team that doesn't have that experience. I mean, they've got so much to replace. It's not just Corral. You got the new quarterback, but they lost their four leading rushers from last year, if you count Corral, and they lost their three leading pass catchers, and they lost two offensive linemen, and their leading sack guy, and their four best linebackers, and their two best cornerbacks, and one of their best safeties. There's a lot to replace on this team. So if they start off strong because the schedule's a little light and that builds confidence, I think they can hit that 8 mark. But if this is a team that is a bit of a smoke and mirrors show where they benefit from not going out like they started last year and playing Louisville and playing Alabama week 4 and having to play Arkansas week 5 and some of those challenges early, things could get weird for this team in October and November. So that's kind of what I'm looking at before I try and make any projections about how many wins they'll have.
When Tennessee rolled into Oxford for that baseball series, if Lane Kiffin threw anything other than a golf ball for the first pitch, I would have been really disappointed. So he didn't disappoint anyone.
No, he did not. The baseball team did, but Lane Kiffin did not disappoint.
You're right, the baseball team. But, you know, a lot of people have been disappointed when they've gone up against that Vols team. They look like they are the real deal. Nick, really appreciate the visit. As always, 2 weeks from today, NFL Draft. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Yeah, always happy to chat, y'all.
Nick Suss, Clarion Ledger, covers all things Mississippi, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. He's really good. We had him on right after the Jeffrey Simmons pick, and I thought he was fantastic in talking about him. We'll come back, continue the discussion. Terry McCormick will join us at 11 o'clock. More things coming here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This week's Best Deals 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to the game, nashville.com/deals, to get half off a $30 gift card. 312 Pizza Company, while supplies last. Back here on the DDC, Little Nicky. Talking again, Little Nicky. He's got thoughts. He's got things to talk about. We just had a good conversation with Nick Suss. Matt Corral is going to go high. Cross from Mississippi State's going to go high. And players from Alabama will go high. But what's Little Nicky up to? What's Little Nicky saying these days?
Well, Little Nicky, as always, because if you recall, some years ago when teams started going to this more up-tempo offense, Little Nicky had his words.
Oh, he was not happy about it.
And Nick, he's only going to say something when it really bothers him or, you know, he's a little bit behind in the trend. Mm-hmm. And I think they were a little bit behind in the trend. He finally decided to get in more in the up-tempo.
Oh, well, Lane Kiffin's the reason.
Exactly. Yeah. And he said players would get hurt, you know, at the disadvantage of the defense. Lo and behold, he has a receiver that ends up being a Heisman Trophy winner and his quarterback. Why? Because they ran the most plays. Mm. They ran the most plays, I believe, in the SEC. I don't know how they ranked when it comes to the nation. So those words, I'm pretty sure, came back to bite him a little bit with some reporters. Well, but now, go ahead, what you're about to say, Chase?
No, I was good. I had the quote pulled up if you're about to read it. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so now Little Nicky, I'm going to call him Nick Saban, Coach Nick Saban. Now he's saying that, you know, that this whole NIL model is unsustainable, that eventually players can be bought. Mm-hmm. Players will transfer, seeking bigger opportunities financially.
Stop right there, though.
Okay.
That's his biggest gripe. He's not going to tell you that that's his biggest gripe, but his biggest gripe is he hates the transfer portal. He hates it.
I think a lot of coaches really hate it.
How can coaches say they hate it?
Well, because what does it do? What the now the transfer portal being
the way it
is,
takes the control away from them.
Bingo. Yes. And that's it.
But he benefits just like everybody else. All these coaches at Belly, did he have a guy, that came over from Knoxville that played linebacker for them this year?
Yeah.
Was he pretty good?
Tuoto.
Yeah, he's kind of a five-star recruit, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of a big deal. Played all year.
Right, but coaches are also hypocrites.
Well,
so.
I mean, how can coaches bellyache about something they all benefit from it?
Of course, some more than others.
Yes.
But they all like control, and it does take some control away.
Exactly.
Now, it's funny to me when he complains about this stuff, because really at the end of the day, in a negative light, it doesn't affect him because he's way up here. He's up on his mountain looking down on everybody, yet he's complaining about these things that do affect a Tennessee or Ole Miss or, you know, some of these schools that are under Alabama.
I don't think what he said is meant for anyone in the SEC, anyone in the Big Ten, anyone in whatever other conference, big conference, Power Five conference. I don't think that's meant for them. I think it's meant for those conferences or those schools that don't have the funds to give NIL deals or don't have the alumni that can give or boosters that can give NIL deals. I think that's who he's talking about, because I'm pretty sure he's not saying this for Texas, because Texas can go out and do whatever they want to, or an A&M, or Georgia, or Clemson. He's not saying it for them. I think he's saying it for those colleges that at this particular time, they can't offer what the big boys offer.
Well, because there's probably, realistically, Derek, there's probably 15 to 20 schools that really can
exactly
do whatever they want.
It's about what? Four in each conference possibly?
Probably. Like Alabama, Georgia.
Texas A&M.
Texas A&M. LSU? Is LSU in
there? I say UT.
No.
You don't think they can?
No, because here's the other part of it. Mm-hmm. You got to be good, too. You have to have some...
Well, Tennessee's coming up.
Have some relevance in the last few years.
Yeah.
You have to have some cachet to be able to pull it off, too. It's not just the money. I mean, because let's be honest, I don't care what people say. Vanderbilt's got money. Vanderbilt could offer those things. They're just not good.
They're not going to get the athletes either.
Right, yeah. So it's that's a part of it, too. It's twofold. It's not just the money. Mm-hmm. Saban and Alabama have been the top of the mountain since he got there for 15 years or whatever it's been.
Well, when he says to the Associated Press, this is an interview with the AP this week, when he says this is unsustainable, NIL, how so?
He's talking about it from the standpoint of this. Again, it's just like anything else. What do we scream about here in growing cities? You know, the inflation is going up. Yeah. It's just making it so hard for people to sustain a way of living or sustain just to stay in an apartment. I think that's what Nick is saying for the universities that are not able to give these huge NIL deals. No one can give Bryce Young the deal that he has other than a Texas,
yeah,
an A&M.
Well, what does he care?
Big school.
Well, I don't understand. What I don't.
It's again, as much we can say whatever we want about Nick Saban, but he's fair.
Yeah,
he's fair across the board.
This is
TSU got a recruit in basketball. He got $1 million. He got $2 million deal.
But it's only one. Basketball is a smaller. When you each year you go out and recruit, how many players in basketball? Two or three. That's it. So you can afford to give one guy that. You're not giving two guys or two girls that.
What are we saying? It's fair and unbalanced. There are top-heavy teams, and there are not. There are teams that can buy whatever they want. There are schools
that I think
that
there
can.
Should be a cap on the NIL.
Derek, it's been like this forever. It's been like this since
but
when you played.
But if you get caught.
The haves and the have-nots.
But if you get caught, then you have there's a penalty.
I don't understand his point. What is his point?
His point is, again, this thing, if they don't get it under control,
control why?
He's not wrong, though. I get it. It's
going to be even more of a half and half nots.
Okay.
That's not good for sports, period. It's just like it's not good for America when it's totally unbalanced when it comes to finances. It's not good for anybody when you have – you know, the haves, and then you have a bunch of have nots. It's going to throw off it's going to throw the balance off.
What's
just like in college football? It's going to throw the balance
so
off.
So, Texas A&M, they've always had advantage. They have unlimited pockets. So, what is that changing?
Even though they had unlimited pockets,
by the way, it hasn't changed their success.
It.
They're dying to win a national championship. Have they done anything? Have they made any noise? They gave Jimbo the moon. They've upgraded everything they've got. They've got the state of the art facilities, everything, renovation, unlimited pockets.
But has Jimbo ever had a recruiting class he's had this year?
Tell me, what's their playoff record? What's their playoff record?
I know,
record?
You're right. They don't have one.
Yeah.
But here, has he ever, at Texas A&M, the day he stepped foot on Texas A&M, has he ever had the recruiting class he has this year?
Ball games are changing, man.
Absolutely.
Was that sliced bread?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll continue this on the other side.
I have more thoughts on
to wrap up the first hour. But first, you've got a thought about BetMGM.
I do have a thought about BetMGM. You can enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at my official sportsbook, BetMGM. All you have to do is sign up using the code 1025GAME, and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Sign up today and find out why nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com. Enter that code 1025GAME and place your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Hear Derek whistling? He's a good whistler, isn't he? Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this May. Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword right now, golf, G-O-L-F, just in case you weren't sure, 615-737-1025. That's our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. You've got a chance, if you do that, to win a weekend pass for four, which includes food and drinks. And as we've seen the menu for Nashville SC concession stand prices, food and drinks are expensive. So that is a really good deal. Yeah. Weekend pass for four, plus food and drinks, plus a Predators gift pack, including a polo shirt, balls, and umbrella. Text the word golf right now, 615-737-1025.
Derek, do you like playing golf?
I enjoy it when I do.
Okay. Keep May 16th open then.
May 16th? Oh, there we go. Keep it open.
It's a good day. It's a good day for you to play.
Hopefully it's nice and warm.
Yeah, I think it will be.
Yeah.
We'll will it into existence.
We were talking about Nick Saban's comments. Uh-huh. He was speaking with the Associated Press this week, and anything little Nicky says gets news, and he says the current NIL setup will create a situation where you can basically buy players. Well, no, duh. This is not new news. And the other part that's pretty interesting about this is, you guys brought up the transfer portal.
Uh-huh.
I brought up a Tennessee example where he took somebody from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Alabama and Nick Saban were in the news again this week for landing another player through the transfer portal. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Oh, was it a guy from Vanderbilt?
It was.
Oh, yeah. It was such a big deal, it made the crawler on ESPN. Oh. So I guess I'm looking at both of you going, what are we talking about here? Like, I'm not interested
in
coaches
phony
who bellyache about losing power. Big whoop. You know what? You get paid $10 million a year. Big whoop. Nobody cares about you losing control. And obviously Nick Saban is not the only coach. They all do this because they've had the power over the players for all these years. So nobody cares. Nobody's going to give you a shoulder to cry on because you're getting rich
right
off these kids. And now you're all signing guaranteed contracts. And so nobody cares to listen to you bellyache about not having control. And these kids now have some control. Well, good for them, I say.
Let me ask you this, though, because we've talked about this a lot. I'm for the transfer portal.
Yeah, I don't mind the transfer
portal. I'm not
for
the Wild Wild West. I think you get one, and after you use your one, then
You shouldn't be able to.
Like, you can't do it every year.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, I don't want to see a kid go use all 5 years and go to five different schools. So I don't want.
Those kids are out there.
Oh, they are. Yeah, because you know their mom or their dad tells them, "Well, coach is doing you wrong," and you know, they transfer out. But I think that so much changes from the time you're 17 or 18 years old to the time that you're 20 or 21. I mean, it just you think it's a good fit, and then it's not, and coaches are allowed to leave whenever they want to. But here's my point to you, Darren, of the coaches bellyaching over this. If Nick Saban, which I do believe he truly hates the transfer portal, but if he stood on that ground and said, "I hate it, I'm never going to use it," they pass him by. And so it's one of those things that it's a rule that you hate and you think shouldn't be a rule, but if you don't partake in it, you're going to lose. And so that's it, even though it's hypocritical, he's doing it because he knows he has to.
Yep. Like, listen, I hate paying taxes, but I got to do it.
Right.
Still gonna complain. It's a horrible rule.
Still complain about it.
Exactly. I think it's horrible, but I still got to do it. You know, as a part of the system. So hey, you got to play
gas prices.
You got to play the system.
You know what? But we still got to put gas in the car.
You got to put gas in your car, so you still got to play inside the system. Nick is the same. I don't want to talk so much, or I'm not getting on Nick so much about the portal, because I think the portal's good. I think it gives our I think it gives guys opportunities to go to another place and possibly succeed, or go to another place and figure, well, football or basketball, whatever, is not my thing. It's not, I'm not going to achieve what I thought I was going to achieve. I'm still going to use my scholarship, but now I can point myself in another direction. If you have kids constantly transferring year after year, it hurts them. It hurts their potential to play more. It hurts their potential in actually graduating on time. So I think once, yes, you can do it once, whether it be in your after your first year or after your third year. Now, if you graduate in 4 years, that fifth year is yours. You can do it anyway. You didn't need a transfer portal. You can, once you graduate, you can go anywhere you want to. But in regards to the NIL, I think eventually if they do not put restrictions, again, I'm all about these young men and women getting, you know, paid for, you know, their name, image, and likeness. I'm all for that. But if you don't put a cap on it, you are going to see the haves and the have not. Kids are going to start moving. If somebody else comes to them and say, after a year, well, you know, I know you're a five-star recruit. You haven't been playing as much. Hey, we can give you what they're giving you over there. We can give you this.
So?
And he's going to leave. Okay. Or she's going to leave. Then it's going to continue to happen over and over again.
So?
You got to put a cap on it. And it helps everybody.
I'm going to tell you why
it helps
cap
all
is
schools.
Irrelevant. Irrelevant. You know why?
Because you said they're still going to do it again. But if you do it, you get caught, you get penalized.
No, they're not. They're going to just find ways around it. That's what they do. They're going to find
it. What do we say? Whether they catch you now or they catch you 10 years later, they're going to catch you.
Derek, let me ask you
something.
That's
Reggie.
Okay,
nobody can get in trouble today in 2022.
Yes, it can.
Did you know of anybody that was getting paid? I'm asking you to name names. Uh-huh. Was anybody on Michigan State getting paid when you were there?
I don't know.
Baloney.
I don't know. My school didn't pay anybody.
Oh, he pleads the fifth.
Hey, we are an upstanding university.
I've talked to officials before the show. Everybody's free.
Hey, we are a clean program.
There can be nobody incriminated.
And then he's like, hey, look at my Rolex. I got this in my sophomore year.
We are the cleanest program in the nation, okay? Uh-huh. The cleanest program in the nation.
Was anybody getting paid when you were there?
Hey, we're the cleanest program in the nation.
They've been getting paid for decades and decades and decades. It's just... All they're doing is just bringing it to light. That's all they're doing. They're just now you can go look
it's
at NIL legal. Deals.
Yeah. It's legal tampering.
It's right. It's exactly. It's the legal tampering.
So you
want to
so eventually this is what because it's legal and you can if it comes out so be it. In a minute there's going to be a bunch of bidding wars. That's what
they're,
it's going
they're,
to be.
It's already
they do
there.
That now. They do that now.
It's going to be a bunch. This
they
is
do
on
that
the
now.
Table. It's going to be a bunch of bidding wars.
You don't think coaches
they're going to change around the way they recruit? The NCAA is going to change the way recruiting is, the time you can recruit. They're going to change all of that again.
Yeah. Let me
stop
something.
Here right there. The NCAA ain't going to do crap because they
they're
already
not going to do
crap.
They're going to sit around. They're sitting around for the next 10 years.
They're asleep right now.
I know. In 10 years, they will change.
And then until Yahoo Sports. NCAA, you in there?
Yeah. Pro
NCAA.
Bible.
Who's at the door now?
I was enjoying my coffee.
All they
back
do
porch.
Is peel back the curtains. What? What do you now? Want? You might want to check this out. Okay, let me get my robe. Let me get up.
Mark my words.
Get the coffee going. I'll get to you a little bit later.
Mark my words. They will change.
Email me the problem. I'll look at it in a little bit. That's the NCAA.
Mark my words. They will change it. They're not going to take it away because they can't, but they will change it. I'm telling you.
Change
it will
to what?
Get changed. There will be a limit on what you get.
Who's going
to
oversee it?
It's not about
Yahoo
again,
Sports?
No, it's not about overseeing
Bro Bible.
It's Bro Bible is going to oversee it. It's not about overseeing it.
We
it's
just
about,
want to announce sliced bread will be overseeing
sliced bread.
The NIL. Limitations?
It's not about overseeing it. It's about there's going to be rules. And if you get caught when we wake up, then you're in trouble.
Right. In trouble what? 9 years from now? Like LSU and Kansas. And I mean, that FBI sting. Yeah, that really. Whew. Boy, they nailed everybody, didn't they?
Regardless of how we think about what we think about it, if they catch you.
Oh, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
In 2036, we're going to get you.
It might be 2046.
We're going to give you something. 2046. We're going to get you.
Hey, listen.
Oh, wait a minute. We got you, but we're gonna penalize you in 20 years.
They finally got Chris Webber in the whole Michigan.
Yeah,
they finally got them, didn't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Will
again,
Wade.
Nothing was going on there. Nothing to see here.
Took 4 years to fire Will Wade.
Yeah.
That's 30 years ago, by the way.
I know. I told you. If they might not get you today, they might not get you tomorrow, but we're going to get you.
Terry McCormick next.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.